The freshest, newest music. CelticaRadio.com.
The Nigerian-born Los Angeles-based singer-songwriter Doye with Still Hurting to get this month's show underway. Doye is influenced by such jazz and R&B legends as Peggy Lee, Ray Charles, Billie Holiday, Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder and Sade. This multifaceted performer began singing in church at the age of 7 and quickly began focusing on her future as a professional singer. Hello there, thanks very much for tuning in. This is Bill Everett.
And this is Ed Risby, with a very special update of the Celtica Radio Underground Edition, online and podcasted for March 2009 from the Welsh Assembly Government, Senedd in Cardiff Bay. And in this month's show, we're exclusively covering the Knife Crime Awareness Tour, with guests Gary Payne from the Life Skills for Children, D. Edwards MBE from Mama Wales, and Linda Evans from KCAT itself.
Thanks, Ed. We'll also be speaking with MC Envy and hearing some of his music too, ahead of his live performance here at the Senedd.
Later on in the show, we'll be talking with Richard Taylor, the leading campaigner against knife crime in the UK since the death of his son, Damilola, in November 2000.
Plus, we've also got some great new and thought-provoking tracks in this month's programme from Hilary Weaver, Occam's Razor, The Tivoli, Andy Niarte, Eat the Weeds, and in a moment, Trifle More. But first, here's Andrew John with some statistics about knife crime in the United Kingdom.
This is Andrew John reporting for Celtica Radio International on knife crime in the United Kingdom. Perhaps one of the more disturbing facts to emerge from the knife crime culture here in the UK is that so many wielders of blades are getting off with just a caution. Home Office figures issued late in February show that in 2007, 7,404 cautions were given before police issued tougher guidance on prosecuting someone caught wielding a knife or other bladed implement. The Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, says that things have changed since July 2008 because new guidelines make it clear that anyone over 16 caught in possession of a knife can now expect to be prosecuted first time around. This, of course, leaves those under 16 who can still expect only a warning the first time they're caught. A report in December said knife carrying was actually down in some parts of England and Wales, notably those where police had specifically targeted knife crime. Since the launch of a £2 million Home Office campaign 6 months earlier, police from 10 forces had up to that point searched 105,000 young people. In June last year, 1 in 30 was caught carrying a knife. By October, it was 1 in 65. Last year, 34 teenagers died from stab wounds. 33 of those deaths were in London. If we look at figures over the past decade up to 2006, we see there's been a significant increase in the number of people sentenced for carrying a knife. In 1996, 890 people were sentenced for possession of a knife in a public place. In 2006, it was 6,284. So that's up from 890 to 6,284. In the same period, the number of those under the age of 18 sentenced went from 114 in 1996 to 1,226 in 2006. So, as with all statistics, the figures can be involved and confusing. Is it generally coming down, or is it going up? What the figures don't mask, though, is that there is still a problem. The 10 forces involved in the Home Office scheme I mentioned a moment ago are London, South Wales, Essex, Lancashire, West Yorkshire, Merseyside, the West Midlands, Greater Manchester, Nottinghamshire, and Thames Valley. The tactics used in these areas under the scheme include sting operations by trading standards officers to target traders who sell knives to under-18s, providing an extra 85 metal-detecting search archers and 566 wands for use in anti-knife operations in nightclubs, schools and railway stations, education programs in schools to warn teenagers about the dangers of knives, warning letters to parents if a young person in their child's peer group is arrested for knife crime, and cutting police red tape by reducing the number of forms officers must fill in following a stop-and-search operation. One rather obvious fact is often discussed, and that is that many of the knives used are very easy to come by. They're in the kitchen drawer. This has led to calls for a ban on long-bladed knives with points. Presumably, short-bladed pointed knives are less likely to be fatal. But chefs have argued that pointed long-bladed knives are really necessary in a kitchen. In January this year, a poll was conducted for the BBC, which showed that 62% of people wanted to see mandatory jail terms for those caught carrying a knife in public. The BBC's Panorama programme spoke to some jail inmates who said that communicating more effectively with youngsters is an essential component. Many of them told programme makers that it was only the harsh reality of prison life that had forced them to consider the full consequences of their actions. This is Andrew John for Celtica Radio International.
The fastest way to the internet.
islandwebservices.co.uk.
Island Web Services design and host bespoke websites for businesses and individuals. Professional websites start from just £100 with no hidden extras. Log on to find out more at islandwebservices.co.uk.
I think it is time we demonstrated the full power of this station.
Celtica Radio.
broken and beyond repair. I'd sell my soul for the nights that we once shared. Saturday night singles bars, I still don't know where you are. I am painfully single.
Single from Charles P. Hurwitz, a.k.a. Casey. He's a non-performing songwriter with a special skill for unique and expressive lyrics and memorable hooks. Already a veteran of numerous publishing deals, Charles' skills have been recognized with an artist cut, a film placement, inclusion on compilation CDs, and recognition on music industry websites. He was also featured in an insider report in the well-known book Songwriters Market, published in 2003.
Before that, a band called Triflemore with a song called Parting Gift. Now, from the very first time they composed a song, Triflemore knew they were onto something special. Though choosing to start a collaboration with an entire ocean in the way meant even small tasks would require extra effort. It also meant having to challenge any existing theories that having to be in the same room is a prerequisite to good songwriting. The band come from two very different places, Suzanne Rea from Small Town America and Owen Goody from the Shetland Islands off the coast of North Scotland.
In a moment, Wilfred N. and the Grown Men with Monkey See, Monkey Do, who have been recording since 1984 and come from Alberta in Canada. And then I'll be talking to Linda Evans of the Wales Music Group.
Free Club Mix is the newest arrival to get you ready for the weekend. This is Dave Easterbrook. Join me for over 60 minutes of top kicking tunes on the Free Club Mix, where new music is always number one. That's the Free Club Mix, on demand, when you need it, right here on CelticaRadio.com.
Sure, by golly, play, clear, flag, pal, come on.
Celtica Radio.
You want to buy yourself a nice coon hound? I got me one on the back porch. Don't do much moving, but sure makes a good doorstop.
It's lives, not knives. Are you between the age of 11 and 14? Are you a parent concerned about the rising levels of violent crime in the news? If you've answered yes, then you need the KCAT crew. It's lives, not knives. So call 01749 677 444 or visit the website www.knifecrimeawarenesstalk.com. KCAT, we'll get the message across.
The Vote Show is happy to be broadcasting in association with the Welsh Unsigned website. If you are a band in need of exposure in Wales or simply want to find out information about a Welsh artist, go to www.welshunsigned.com. WelshUnsigned.com, putting Welsh music on the map.
All new music. Celtica Radio.
I was
We're joined by Linda Evans, who runs the Wales Music Group. Linda's organisation provides artists, management, promotion and works with the artists to aid their development and help with their exposure in the music industry. Linda's role within the Knife Crime Awareness Tour is to build relationships with other organisations and work towards and attends meetings with the authorities and the police to help organise the shows and the artists themselves. During the summer of 2008, after a local man was killed by a knife-wielding attacker, Linda Evans fashioned the idea of Knife Crime Awareness Tour to bring the facts of violent crime to the attention of the youth today. Linda, welcome to the programme. And we've also got Andrew Webb here, who's the project manager.
Hello.
Hi.
Is the aim of the plan to publicise the importance of reducing violent crime through the medium of music?
Yeah, it is. Basically, what we want to do is that we think that actually by putting on events, one, it actually reduces crime for the simple reason that where young people have got nowhere to go nowadays. If you actually put on an event, they've got somewhere to go, they actually build a community, and then they won't feel the need to actually join a gang culture because they build more like friendships and stuff like that. I've actually been running events now for 2 years in Monaghan and Taff, and they've watched as the crime rates actually falling down, and they've actually, a lot of the young people that have attended they ended up setting up bands themselves. They ended up getting into a band, and rather than going to the park and destroying something or getting into something like that, they now have got a project to do, and then the crime has actually fallen.
I understand initially that knife crime was to be the major priority of the campaign, but it was seen that the format could be extended to cover other issues as well. Can you tell us about them?
Yeah, anything to stop the children hanging around on the streets and to stop gang culture getting a hold, really, because you can't really blame the kids all the time. You know, they haven't got much to do. You know, they do have youth clubs, they do have places to go, but they still prefer to hang out on the streets. And I think there's not enough opportunities. It's like the Ely boys here today. They've been given the opportunity to create music. And we, you know, through us, with the exposure and everything they've had, you know, from this, we have actually helped them get some media exposure, and now they're being looked at for some digital contract or something they're having up now with somebody who heard them on the radio. So, you know, it's all good, and all kids have got dreams, you know, they've got dreams, and if you can give them a chance to show other kids that you can be doing this too, if you really want it, there's loads of things they can be doing. It's not all about picking up an instrument.
Yeah.
There's so much other things to do, like with what you were saying the other day.
Well, so, with the events before I came on with Linda, with a company called Dead Star, and we not only just music, there's other things like photography and writing. Like, we've worked with a magazine called Plugged In, which actually takes students and then they want to become writers. Like, it seems like a dream job, so they pick them up and they become like journalists, and they'll come in and we've given them like radio interviews. We've done it so like they make films, and it gives them something to do, and it's something that they're not stuck on the streets anymore. And like what I keep saying is they turn to boredom, and then eventually that turns to normally something destructive, basically. Whereas if they've got something creative to do, then there's no need to go down that path.
Were the local authorities and police consulted during the planning process, and did you invite them to make comments and recommendations as they saw fit?
Yeah, we did, yeah, but I think they've got their own projects going on, and I don't think at this time that they're taking on anything new at the moment. Who knows in the future? You know, we've got a lot of plans, and there's a lot of ideas coming forward, and it has interest them, but they want to see how it can be put into action, really, and how the projects are going to work. I'm sure once they see it working, when they actually see people doing something and they can see the success of our shows and our events, then I think they'll probably feel a bit safer to get involved, because I think at the moment they have got a lot of things to do themselves, you know, to do with education, the schools, but then of course that's our target as well, so we're all trying to work for the same thing here, and the best way is for everyone to unite and help each other. But I think today, with this meeting and this networking day, I think that a lot of people are now going to go away, and we're going to be back in touch with each other, because we've got some really, really good ideas that we're all going to put together, and we're really going to come up with something quite exciting, aren't we? Especially from our point of view, with the through the medium of music, we've got a lot of other organisations now wanting to get involved with that subject, so I'm very happy about today.
I personally, the police actually see the benefits. So I've actually worked with the police before in previous events that I've done. Like, I worked with them with their Blue Light Project, which was more to do with like the under 16s and tackling more to do with like it's more like misuse, basically, like alcohol and stuff like that. And they'd bring them in, and then they'd have leaflets there to teach them and stuff like that. But again, it just got young people off the street, and they all worked really well. So the events I did help them out with, they were showing me the figures of like, if you look at the same Fridays that we put on these, the crime dropped that particular night by 90%, because they were all in one location. Community police were there, making sure that they were all okay. They stepped away, allowed them to have a good night. They all finished, went off that night. And you looked at the previous Friday, and they were out wrecking a park somewhere. They were out keying somebody's car and stuff like that.
Are local bands going to be playing at each venue? And what about the higher profile bands from the UK? Are they playing any of the established music venues?
At the moment, I only currently work in the one I work in, the Mooney in Pontypridd, but we're looking at other venues. And my main aim was to actually support local bands coming through, is to give them an opportunity to get onto a big stage and play to a lot of people. We've been running that for 2 years now, and we've also started to get bigger bands coming in now. Like, we worked with the Full Ponty last year, and we had bands like Attack and The Guns, Misconduct, all bands have gone and played like festivals and had records and had record labels. And we've watched as other bands that we started outdoors as like our first on the first in the bill have worked their way up, and now they're looking again record deals, and that's what we aim to promote, is like young bands and to push them forward.
Is the tour being taken around the schools and colleges to bring the message home to young people?
Again, we've done it in the past. I've actually put stuff into schools. We'd like to do more in schools, but it is quite difficult to actually put them on in schools. What we prefer to do is actually take a music venue where it's easier to actually put on. For the simple reason, to put it into a school, you've got to bring everything in. You have to bring massive PAs into it, whereas you can go to a venue, the costs will all come down, and you can just basically bus the kids from the school to the venue itself, and it's easier to put on, and it's safer because they've got the facilities there that a school would not normally have. But if need be, we can actually put the gigs on in the schools.
Are the local police able to talk to those attending about knife crime, and indeed crime in general?
Yeah, we've offered them a platform for that, and you know, they can come in where they see fit. You know, if they want to come in, we're giving them the choice to, you know, but the offer is there. It's a long time into their own organisation of what they're doing at the moment, and we are halfway, we're into a new year now, and a lot of planning has already gone on. So the stages which we were in talks with them at came in a tad late, because their budget and their ideas had already been put into place, and now we're looking at ideas for 2009, which I think, if I'm not wrong, I think may start about May time. So they will be looking to do other things in 2009, at least. We've had meetings. They've been very successful. They love our ideas. We haven't had any negative feedback from them.
For example, like at one of the events, then the police are unable to attend. Mm-hmm. Is it able for other groups to come in and young groups?
A lot of other youth workers, other organisations. Will be invited to take part in our events, or if they want to help out, so they can benefit. Yeah, it's like a big family thing, isn't it? You know, you're getting other people involved, and hopefully, they're going to be a part of the events which we do. It's not just about one organisation here; it's about uniting everyone who is doing something in the same vein. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to encourage to make it bigger and make it louder so the message gets heard in a bigger way. And, you know, as I said, we've been in talks with a lot of organisations today, and they are really excited about something fresh like this being brought to their, to their attention even, because they haven't really done anything like this before, and they can see the benefits, because children do tend to look up to their peers, don't they?
Well, it's basically a case of, first of all, so we've got to create an event somewhere that they can go and they can feel safe, basically. Mm. Then once they actually attend in the event, you start off with what would be like a soft message to them, but it's not like just ramming the message down them, down their throat. You want to actually, a bit of a soft sell at first, and then once you actually got it established and they've got some place to go, you can actually look to see if it's already created a positive effect by looking at the surrounding area, speaking to people like youth groups and speaking to people like the police and saying, well, has it already affected it? And then if there's something they're worried about, you've already got a platform to deliver that message to them. It's no point starting with the message and then shouting at them straight away, because more than likely a lot of kids, when you speak to them, the young people today, they won't turn up. So it's creating the event so they've got some place to go, some place safe and some place that they'd like to go to, and then start delivering the message to them.
A good thing catches on quick with kids, especially when it's music, and you're actually, won't take long for the next venue to take a hold and be successful, and everybody will want a bit of everything, won't they, with, you know, the bands. You know, you're never short of artists to want to play these events anyway.
Right, well, thanks very much. That's Linda Evans there and Andrew Webb from the Wales Music Group.
If I'd spent my life staying at home, but you would always make that phone call at the perfect moment. I was feeling doubts, and even though it was hard for you the day I was leaving, even though all this time I knew that you'd been grieving. So much good to embrace, I want to pass it on. The rarity of love you give me, like that perfect rainbow over Cogra Bay. And even though I hear your voice, your tears were falling. And even though you'd hear my voice, your heart would be calling. Love,
That's Heidi and her own composition called Family Love. Her full name is Heidi Spiliopoulos, and she is the first ever Australian soul export. She's always been drawn to the music world and has her finger firmly on the pulse when it comes to not only her music but the industry too. Following a successful career in the marketing departments of famous record labels, Heidi is determined to combine her wealth of industry knowledge, business savvy and extraordinary talent to become a success in an ever-changing music market. And for further information, please visit myspace.com/HeidiMusic. Okay, now after the break, we have a great song called Will You Marry Me from a band with a fabulous name, Eat the Weeds. Yep, Eat the Weeds, that's what they're called, and they are the project of Daniela Antlova, a recent immigrant from Central Europe trying to make sense of life in North America. Apart from making music, Daniela likes to pick berries, crunch numbers, and read Richard Dawkins books. Daniela actually managed to poison herself once with hemlock while picking wild greens for lunch, believe it or not. Despite this episode, she still thinks it's more bizarre to buy a supermarket lettuce than to eat dandelion leaves from your backyard. And if you'd like to hear more of her music, then why not go to her website at www.myspace.com/DNAAND. That's www.myspace.com/DNAAND.
And after that, Bill will be talking to Dee Edwards of Mama Wales.
This summer, from the creators of Superman, a hero will rise. One man has the power to change the world. One voice holds the key to communication. And his enemy is the deadliest machine ever built. Even his identity is a secret from everyone, including himself. Grab onto your microphone. It's a Carl Burdenshaw show.
Mistakes Included is the great new album from Ryan Hellman. Available now at www.ryanhellman.com. Get Mistakes Included.
Anytime, any place, anywhere.
Ay, caramba.
Celtica Radio's on-demand programs are available 24 hours a day.
Get cracking, we've work to do.
And unlike other radio stations, you can choose when to listen and the types of programs you would like to hear.
I've got a song here, and I'm going to try and sing the verse of it.
Don't forget, we're a free format radio station, so if you have a favourite song you'd like to hear again, get in touch with us. Details are on the Contact Us page on our website. Celtica Radio, hot station, cool music.
We're pleased to announce that the Celtica Radio web shop has now been expanded. This is the place to get your official Celtica Radio merchandise, as well as contributing to our fundraising efforts to bring Celtica Radio to you as a multi-platform radio service. Some of the great products on offer are the Celtica Radio official mug, normally reserved as a special prize or gift. Now you can have your very own Celtica Radio mug to have your favorite drink. The classic t-shirt, made of superb quality cotton, with reinforced cuffs and waistband, plus double seams on all hems and on the neckline too. Sizes include medium, large, extra large, and extra extra large too. The Celtica Radio wall clock, decorate any room in your home or office with this superb timepiece, which features our beautiful Celtic knotwork design. Click on the Celtica Radio shop for more details. And thanks for supporting Celtica Radio.
Hot station, cool music on Celtica Radio. Hot station, cool music on Celtica Radio.
Will you marry me? Will you marry me?
We're now joined at the Cenydd by Dee Edwards, MBE. Dee, along with Lynn Costello, is the co-founder of MAMA throughout the UK and the founder of MAMA in Wales. Dee co-founded MAMA after the murder of James Bulger because she felt that we should not be prepared to live in a society where children murdered children. MAMA have supported and campaigned on behalf of almost 600 families bereaved in this way. Both Dee and Lynn Costello were awarded an MBE in the New Year Honours List for 16 years' service to vulnerable people. Dee is now concentrating on working in Wales because Wales does not have a huge weapons problem that the rest of the UK has. And naturally, she wants it to stay that way. For Dee, prevention is the biggest weapon against street crime, and therefore Dee gives safety and awareness talks in schools, youth clubs and hostels for young and homeless people. Dee also uses some very graphic pictures of people with knife and gunshot injuries to illustrate her talks. Dee, thanks for speaking to us today.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay, to begin with, what is the content of the Weapons Awareness Programme?
The first thing we do is ask if anybody knows somebody who carries a knife or whether they carry one themselves, and then find out why. And they usually say it's because of prevention, and then we just say we're going to prove to you that carrying a knife does not prevent it. They carry it to protect themselves. We're trying to prove to them that carrying a knife does not protect you, and 50% of people carrying a knife end up killed themselves with their own weapon. So the major content is the graphic photographs. They are horrendous injuries caused by knives and guns, and we always say to them, you can look away if you want to, and we'll tell you when they've gone. Not everybody wants to look at them. They have a massive impact, and when we go back a few weeks later and do the second part of the course and say to them, what do you remember most, without a doubt, everybody says those pictures.
Has the response to them been positive?
Very positive. We've had absolutely no negative feedback from them at all, from the schools, the teachers, the youth leaders. And the biggest response is that they ask us to go into other schools. The head teachers are giving references to other schools. It's really opened the door for us. The biggest door was opened by a lady called Claire Waters from the Prince's Trust. We did some work with a youth club with her, and she's just given our number to the world and his wife, and been inundated with work since then.
What do young people remember most about the presentations, Dee?
The graphic photographs. They all say that, because we explain these are not your PS2 games, they're not your Xbox games, they are real people, and every single person in those photographs is dead. They've all been victims of violent street crime.
Why do you think young people carry knives? Do you think it's for protection?
A lot of people tell us they carry them for protection, but then they'll tell us that the main reason they carry them for protection is because they have seen so many knife crime incidents on the television, and the media go on about it so much, and rightly so in some respects, it needs to be highlighted. But they said it frightens them so much that they think that if everyone else is carrying a knife, so should they. The scary thing is, we had a young girl in a class once, she was only about 12, and she had a little pink penknife that her dad had given her, so we need to get out and educate the parents as well.
What do you think is the biggest cause of knife crime?
I'm not sure to the answer to that, but we do a evaluation sheet which we give to all the children. And the very last question on that sheet is, what do you think is the biggest cause of knife crime? And sadly, there's an enormous amount of young people who put bad parenting.
Really?
Really bad parenting. I didn't know what a bad parent was when I was a child. You know, they were just your mum and dad. Mm. A lot of them will say things like the media, video games, violence, people think they're hard, you know. But that is the main answer we get, is bad parenting, and I find that really sad.
Do you think that there's a knife crime problem here in Wales?
There's a knife crime problem in every single part of the UK. There just isn't a huge knife crime problem in Wales, and that's why we set up MAMA Wales, because we don't want there to be a huge knife crime problem here.
Okay, as a result of that, do you think people are complacent in this part of the world?
I think they're very complacent. Most of us, certainly where I live in North Wales, we live in very small villages in tight-knit communities, which is great. You know, my children live in a very safe community. We live a mile from another village called Denyolyn, where we're actually doing a presentation to a youth club in there on Wednesday evening. A couple of weeks ago, a 17-year-old boy was stabbed in the stomach in Denyolyn. It's really made people sit up and think, oh my God, this does happen everywhere. If we don't go into schools and do the presentations, we are going to see more and more problems.
Okay, now in addition to schools, is MAMA Wales working with other groups?
We work with the Prince's Trust in youth centres, giving the presentations in there, in young offenders institutes as well, and youth clubs. But what we also do is work with Gary Payne from Life Skills for Children. He does a very non-physical education package for children from the age of five, where they teach about respect for themselves and for other people, confidence building skills. And I really believe what Gary's doing is very, very worthwhile, and we've decided to work in partnership together. So he's at the bottom end of the scale, getting the kids before they get into trouble. At the moment, we're sadly picking up the pieces of a lot of shattered lives, and that's why we need to do prevention programs.
Indeed. Ed will be speaking with Gary Payne in a little while here on the program. Have the police and the schools been more supportive of your aims recently?
Much more supportive since we were given an MBE in the New Year's Honours list. There was a time where, certainly in North Wales, the police were very apprehensive. They didn't know who we were, even though we were working with the Home Secretary. And I think that was... A lot of that is when you go back to the days where there was bullying in schools. People don't want you to go in because they think that they've got a stigma attached to you having a bullying problem. It's not about that. It's about prevention. And certainly, you know, the police in North Wales now, over the last couple of years, have been very, very supportive of what we do. Very supportive indeed, actually. And so have an awful lot of other people. The MBE opens a lot of doors. It's been a huge honour. We get that on the 28th of May. It doesn't pay the bill, so we still need funding.
And talking of funding, is Mama Wales funded by anyone in particular?
Absolutely not. We get our funding from our own pockets, and it's becoming increasingly difficult. We don't even get our petrol money to go out and do the stuff we do in the school. So, you know, we desperately need some funding because everybody is affected by knife crime, and it's easier to prevent than it is to put gaping, you know, gaping wounds, families, broken lives, shattered families. It's absolute hell sometimes dealing with families when you just feel so helpless that you can put every single thing possible in place to support them through court, raise money for their children's funeral when they haven't got the money. What you can't do is give them the one thing they want, and that is to have their child back. So as hard as it is to talk to your child about knife crime, it's much harder never to talk to your child again.
And on that note, Dee Edwards, diolch yn fawr, thank you very much.
Diolch yn fawr, Bill.
The fluttering's all
till I find my home.
I Want to Stay from Holly Thomas, Britain's answer to Sarah McLachlan. Unable to keep away any longer, Holly moved to Edinburgh on a return from the United States in February 98. She started her successful residency at the Common Grounds Coffee House. The year saw a continuing increase in her profile, culminating in 30 appearances in 24 days at the Edinburgh Festival. Holly has also appeared as guest vocalist on the Run Rig album In Search of Angels. And The List, Scotland's listing magazine, put her bubbling under the year's top 40 bands.
Thanks, Ed. After the break, we have music from Dan Crisp with a song called Beautiful and Deadly. And then Ed will be talking with Gary Payne, the founder of the Life Skills for Children program.
Hi, this is Keith Berry-Davis, and I'd like to tell you about my new show. It's called Footsteps. I'll be playing some of the very best in new Christian and faith music, or anything else that has a spiritual message. Footsteps will also feature a talking point on a moral issue, as well as spiritual news items from around the globe. And if you're a Christian or faith music artist, then get in touch with me, as I'm looking to airplay your kind of music. So don't forget, that's Footsteps, exclusively to Celtica Radio. We have one world, but different ways of walking in the footsteps of our Creator.
A man walks into an advertising agency and says to the account manager, "I want to talk about advertising on Celtica Radio." "Nah," says the account manager, "we only use, like print and TV, you know, proper radio." "Proper radio," says the man, "what do you mean by proper?" "Well," says the agency man, "like measured audiences and the number of hours and things like that." "Measured," says the man. "You mean measured by audience research paid for by the radio industry?" "Yeah," says the agency man, "like that." "Well," says the man, "what would you say if I told you that what you call proper radio is measured by a system that's so dodgy, so unreliable and so biased towards the really big radio stations that you really don't know what you're buying?" "Well, okay. But what's different about internet radio?" says the agency man. "What's different?" says the man. "I'll tell you what's different. Internet access radio measures every single time a listener logs on. No guesswork, no estimates, exact figures. And if your clients haven't yet caught on to the numbers yet, they're missing out. Seriously, missing out. An example, last month, Celtica Radio had 91,036 downloads, and last year, 1,053,338 in total. See?" "Yeah, okay," says the agency man. "Sounds like I'd better, you know, tell my clients. What's the station again?" "Celtica Radio," says the man.
If you're an advertiser and your agency hasn't clued you in on Celtica Radio, it's time they did. And it's time you asked them. Celtica Radio at CelticaRadio.com. Sounds like simple common sense.
Celtica Radio is a fresh new kind of channel, completely independent from any station on the air anywhere. We are available on the internet 24 hours a day, broadcasting using the latest technology. Celtica Radio's programming is receivable locally and worldwide by anyone who has a computer with internet access and a sound card. Log on to us at www.celticaradio.com and be part of the experience. What's more, you choose the programs you listen to. Our presenters are experienced professionals, and we play great music and support and nurture local talent too. Check us out whilst you surf the net. If you are an advertiser looking for new ways to get your product across, or represent a corporate organisation interested in state-of-the-art media, then we'd like to hear from you. Harness the power of the internet and Celtica Radio at the heart of the Celt in you.
Hello.
Hello. Today we're going to tell you how you can listen to Celtica Radio programmes anywhere you want to, even in the car.
And you don't even need any sticky bag plastic.
First, go to the podcasts page on Celtica Radio website and select the shows you want to listen to on the move and download them.
Then transfer them to your portable MP3 player or iPod. It's as simple as that.
Don't worry if you've only got an ordinary in-car cassette machine. You can use a special adapter for your MP3 player, which you can purchase at most large supermarkets for less than the price of a chart CD.
And unlike ordinary radio, there's none of the irritating signal interference. Here's some we did earlier to take with us on our safari trip.
So there you have it. If you want better radio, make Celtic portable. And John, mind the elephant.
Celtica Radio, la radio qui chauffe avec la musique trop cool.
She's my universe, beautiful and deadly. Hardly a wonder she can make you cry. There she stands, innocent as always. Born with a ruthless gaze, she'll hypnotize. But I don't need to fear you. Love is when I'm near you. We don't need to suffer anymore. You're the one that makes me. Only you could break me when I don't see the sunlight anymore. She's my universe, beautiful and deadly, filled with wonder. She can make you die. There she stands, innocent as always. With a whisper she will blow your mind. But I don't need to miss you. Love is when I kiss you. We don't need to suffer.
Joining us on the programme now is Gary Payne. Gary is the founder of the Life Skills for Children programme. He is a defensive tactics instructor for the British Police and military and specialises in designing and implementing training programmes for a wide variety of people, including such groups as Women's Aid and many others. Life Skills for Children is a non-physical personal safety and communications programme for young people aged 5 to 16 years. The programme is split into 5 simple-to-learn sessions, which educate young people in a number of important skills to improve their awareness and ability to assess a potential dangerous situation. Gary, thank you for taking your time out with your schedule to speak with us today. Question for you, what is Life Skills for Children?
Life Skills for Children is a non-physical personal safety and communications programme for 5 to 16-year-old young people.
Does the programme just deal with knife-related education?
No, far from it. It's actually a complete personal safety and communications programme, so it tackles everything from awareness training, body language assessment, how to make correct eye contact, right the way through to isolating a potentially dangerous situation with a weapon or without a weapon. So it might just be a two-on-one engagement or a bullying scenario from a school's perspective, but there might be more than one person, what we call a multiple assault. So it covers everything, every aspect of personal safety.
What are the key benefits to young people learning life skills?
I think the biggest one is confidence. What we've seen over the last few years, and I've been in the defensive tactics industry for about 20 years now with the police and the military, and what we've seen generally is when people know how to protect themselves and their personal safety skills are increased, their level of confidence, ability to communicate correctly in be at school or a work environment is much increased. So confidence is number one. I think the second thing is, as everything we do at this moment in time is post-traumatic in this industry, so the government invests heavily in post-traumatic services, advice lines, charities that provide help and assistance to children or young people once they've had an ordeal. Life skills is preventative measures. It's about getting in there as early as we can and trying to stop these sort of traumatic incidents happening with these children. So there's loads of benefits, but the biggest one, confidence. Confidence is there.
Why do you think we need to educate children in basic communication skills?
Over the last 30 years, and communication skills, basic communication skills between human beings, has just dissolved into a complete and utter mess. We see police inspectors on a regular basis when we're training with them that can't make eye contact when they're communicating. They can't shake hands correctly. And because of all the different cultural changes and social changes within our societies and communities, we see people exchanging handshakes in about 15 different ways. So really what we're trying to do through the programme is educate children in some of the basic fundamentals. Good body language assessment, correct posture, correct handshaking skills, correct communication skills, verbally and through body language, eye contact, etc. And by definition, what that does, it gives a child or a young person a better opportunity to be successful in their community, better chance of a job, better chance of being successful and becoming a successful member of their community.
Can you tell me more about the Kids Teach system with the programme?
Yeah, what we did about 5 years ago when we started working on the programme was we understood very, very clearly that from an adult teaching a five-year-old child, there's such a big age gap that quite often there's a breakdown in communication between those two sort of ages. So we created a Kids Teach Kids programme, which effectively is where we teach young people between 10 and 16 years of age how to deliver the programme, such as its simplicity, to 5, 6 and 7 year olds. And we found that 5 and 6 and 7 year olds engage much better with their peers who are only a few years older. And because the skills within the programme are so simple to sort of divulge and actually accept, we found the results from the programme are really, really powerful. So we want to create a national, not just in Wales, but in the UK, a national programme of children that can actually travel around and actually teach younger kids some of the basic skills, including how to avoid a potentially dangerous situation with a knife.
How does life skills fit into the busy curriculum schedule of schools?
Schools are a very, very complex place, and unlike 30 to 40 years ago where there were some core curriculums such as maths and English, and generically wherever you were in the country or in specifically in the UK, you went to school, you learnt the same subjects and you left. Schools now are very, very complex. They diversify greatly, and whether that's because of competition between schools or because of the government pressure, what we've found is that life skills is really, really cool because it teaches these basic skills. It fits into what's called a cross-curriculum dimension. So if we're teaching them communication skills, it affects their English. If we're teaching them basic method acting skills, which is what we do within the programme, it's helping them in drama. So the programme itself fits into PSHE, which is Personal Social Health Education, and it actually educates them through that course of curriculum various skills that they can affect all their other programmes. So we're trying to keep it as flexible as we can. Another thing to add is life skills can be flexible in its delivery. It can be delivered over a number of sessions, it can be delivered in a seminar, a one-day event, a half-day event, a one-hour event. It's so flexible, and it means schools have the opportunity to chop and change depending on what their priority of that deliverance may be.
Can life skills be taught to children with disabilities?
Very much so. A major part of our pilot in and around the Thames Valley region was actually working some of the material with disabled children. We know that statistically disabled children are 4 or 5 times more likely to be abused than their able-bodied children, on the grounds that they find it more difficult to communicate about the things that are happening to them. So I was very, very keen on actually making sure that when we developed some of the exercises, it was right for disabled people to learn as well. And we have major success with it. Now, depending on the severity of the disability, it does change some of the activities that we do, but yes, it's very much for disabled people as well as for able-bodied people.
Can any responsible adult teach this programme?
We think so. We've got police officers training this programme, military personnel training this programme, teachers training this programme, and as I said before, we have a group of children that train this programme and deliver it as well. So yes, we think so. We don't think there's too many restrictions. We have, for the sake of sensibility and for us to manage the discipline of the delivery, put some criteria in, but in principle, providing that you're a responsible adult, then you can deliver this program. And the training is really, really simple. We've developed everything for a trainer-trainer program. So you get DVDs, you get training manuals, it's all interactive. And we can pick the seminar up, some of the information, in as little as an hour. So it's very, very simple material to deliver. So the answer to that is yes.
Are you relying on the government to fund the program into schools?
Initially, coming from the background that I do with the police and the military, yes, we was. We were hoping that the government would actually take a stance on this and say, this is such an important issue, our children's future, that they would put some funds towards it. Unfortunately, it's like a minefield. And what we've found in our research is that for every penny that they're throwing at this, there seems to be throwing £10 at something else. So I'm not quite sure where we fit on the priority order. So what we're looking for doing is this. We've actually got the programme down to as little as £1.25 per child to be educated in the full Life Skills for Children programme. Against some of these post-traumatic services that can cost anywhere upwards of £50 per child. So what we're looking at doing is we're looking at going to private organisation, we're looking for private companies. We're attached to this music tour that we're doing now because we think music is a very, very powerful medium for young people to engage and learn from. And what we're looking to do is put some big concerts on and to raise some funds privately to be able to affect the sort of children in our community.
Right, how can our listeners find out more about the Life Skills programme?
The best and most simplest way to do that is to go onto our website, which is all the W's, lifeskillsforchildren.co.uk. On there is all the information you're ever going to need. It's our contact details. You can download an information pack that gives you more information about what we've just been talking about. And that would be the best means. So that's all the W's, lifeskillsforchildren.co.uk.
Okay, well, because of that, like, we'll also put a link on our own website with reference to that as well, like, and we'll transfer it across. But further information is thelifeskillsforchildren.co.uk. Can they contact you direct on your phone number?
By all means, yeah, absolutely.
Right, and that's Gary then. It's 07725481769. We'll also put that on the website if you're happy absolutely. For that then. Okay, Gary Payne, thank you very much for joining us here at Celtica Radio.
Thank you very much for your time. Okay. Very kind.
Thanks very much.
Thank
bye-bye, man.
Bye-bye.
Give and it's
Andy Niarte and a song called Crash. Since her debut at the Mean Fiddler in London nearly 17 years ago, Andy has been described as having the subtlety of Suzanne Vega and Annie DeFranco's stage presence, together with her own distinctive vocal style. Over the last couple of years, Andy has played memorable sets in London, the Edinburgh Fringe and Glastonbury Festival. Now, as well as her annual visit to the Glastonbury Festival and her reappearance at the vibrant and expanding Fourth Prague Fringe Festival, Andy has also performed at the Falkland Islands too. Now, you've been there, haven't you, Ed?
Yes, I have there, Bill. I spent 4 months working on the BFBS station down there. In a moment, we'll hear from our featured artist, MC Envy, and we'll be playing tracks from him, and I'll be talking to him ahead of his live performance here at the Welsh Assembly Senedd.
The pen is mightier than the sword. Where there's a pen, there's a word. Where there's a word, there's a manuscript. Where there's a manuscript, there's a broadcast opportunity for an aspiring or an established author or poet. Hi, I'm Dave Carrington, one of the team of presenters here on Celtica Radio, the world's local radio station. Why not listen to my programme, Squaring the Circle, where I deliver unique stories and poems to our global audience. They're unique because they're your stories and your poems, and they're available on demand or on podcast for free. That's Squaring the Circle with me, Dave Carrington, at CelticaRadio.com. Why not listen to me? I would love to hear from you.
A paddling pool. From your point of view, on a hot day, it's a great way to keep her occupied so you can hang out the washing.
Can you stay there? Because Mummy's just going to go put the washing out.
But from your child's point of view, it's a chance to make really big splashes and pour out water and slide about and...
A baby can drown in just 5 centimetres of water. So look at it from their point of view. Never turn your back on a child in a paddling pool. And empty your pool when you're finished with it. Find out more about keeping your home safe for your kids. Visit direct.gov.uk/child safety.
Paracetamol. From your point of view, they're just what you need when you've got a splitting headache. After you've been shopping all morning with your little boy.
Oh, hi, Laura.
But from your child's point of view, the tablets are... a fun toy, which makes a great crackling sound and yummy sweeties to taste, and he's just seen Mum take one.
Every year, around 7,000 children end up in hospital after swallowing pills. So look at it from their point of view. Keep medicines out of their reach. Find out more about keeping your home safe for your kids. Visit direct.gov.uk/child safety.
If you're an advertiser... how many times have you been told that advertising on radio is about repetition, repetition, repetition? Hit the listener over the head as many times as possible with exactly the same message and they'll buy your product. That's how ordinary broadcast radio has been sold for 80 years. That may be the way ordinary broadcast radio works, but not Celtica Radio. Celtica listeners make deliberate choices to listen to individual programs which appeal to them. And we operate a policy which has a great deal of respect for our listeners. We don't like hitting them on the head, so we craft our commercial messages carefully to fit in with the programs. No one gets a sore head, no one ends up with sore ears. Celtica Radio at CelticaRadio.com. Sounds like simple common sense.
Representing E4E.
no grammar, no every stammer, no who the hell I am. I'm a upper coming man, so yo, it's like I just stand tight on my brand, but I understand last year just about rock so grand, so got my whole life planned, so don't even cross me, you're a circus quicksand, and I can count on one hand how many lands have crossed, and it's so the grand, singing English to the spanners, so boy, this man's don't even know, bet the way that I stand, in fact, I got the upper hand, now I'm growing up on the longer band, been there, done that, got a t-shirt and a wristband, back in the day, I was the man, that was ruling this land, stop me, don't be, just use your instinct to things, proper breath, take your wing, that will make my world's caving, the ghouls, everything around me, stars collapse in, we'll be there, standing proud, say in. Can we? I've forgotten who I am. Oh yeah, I'm a rising man. I'm ready to breach the peace. If necessary, if the peace be breached, I'll reach higher heights and I'll teach the peace. I'll read between my lines, to read between my brains, and maybe the fight that I'm more than just a preacher, and that I use my mind to design and the lanes to write. And then I'm taking my time to fight off these man, survive with harsh words. Now you see, I'm going in full flight, ladies and gentlemen. Fasten your seatbelts, hold on tight. On my back to take you on a bumpy ride. Wait, don't hesitate as I spit out the fakes all over my plate, all over the place. I'm sorry, but I'm shaking the fakes, raising the stakes, taking myself to a better place. Say in.
MC Envy is a 22-year-old rapper-producer from London and is currently performing across the whole of the UK at the moment. The summer of 2008 has been a very busy time for Envy. So far, he's performed his debut single, Please Don't Cry, in London's Trafalgar Square in front of 15,000 revelers and has, to date, 9 other performances throughout the UK this year. He's been featured in some of the UK's top magazines. He's also won the competition Pride's Got Talent 2008, with a slot to perform in Brighton's Preston Park in front of a crowd of 10,000. MC Envy, welcome to the Senedd, and welcome to Celtica Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Right, what have you been doing lately, especially with touring and promotion?
Okay, yeah, well, basically I just started the second UK tour, and that's just more to deal with in nightclubs, and still going to do some more Pride festivals this year as well, and continue like promoting the new album, the new single. So yeah, that's what I've been up to at the moment.
Okay, good. Tell us about your single. When's it out and what's it all about?
Okay, yeah, right. The new single's I Am What I Am, and it came out last Friday. And we've released some remixes as well, just to appeal to a more mainstream audience. Basically, the song is called I Am What I Am, and it's just about being true to yourself and going out and enjoying yourself and just having a good time. And that's available from all digital stores as from last Friday.
Oh, excellent. Well done. How did you get involved with the Knife Crime Awareness Tour?
Okay, I was approached by a young lady called JJ Kane, and she was really interested in my single One Life, and because it sort of sums up one life, that you only get one chance, so you just got to make a good go of it, and basically
right.
It sort of seemed to be a good campaign song. So that was my first involvement in the tour, and I am now going to be performing at most of the tour throughout the UK when it starts to get going, and that's why I'm here today. to perform. So I'll be doing three tracks from my debut album. And I'm going to be one of the main spokespeople for the campaign. So I'm just, it's a worthy cause, and if we can use music to tackle this issue, then I'm glad to be a part of it.
What are your thoughts on knife crime in the UK?
Okay, well, I live in London, and that's got like the most knife crime rate in the UK anyway. And so it's quite predominant in everyday life, and there's always a different headline and different statistics. So I just feel like, again, if we can use music to tackle this, then it's a good shot and it's worth doing. And because innocent people are dying that shouldn't, so yep, so science got to be done about it.
Yeah, definitely. There's something to be done about it. Do you have a follow-up album and a world tour planned?
Yes, I do. The new album will be out in December, and I start the world tour at the second half of this year. And that's we're just in the booking stages at the moment, but we've got mainly Australia, America and Canada covered. So, yeah, we're just... and Iceland as well. So, yeah, it's just in the early stages of planning, but fingers crossed all goes well. Yeah, and, I'm just going to enjoy it.
Iceland, no, that's going to be a strange place to be going to. Are you going there in the summer?
I don't know yet. Hopefully it won't be that cold.
What effect do you think the Knife Crime Awareness Tour is going to have?
Hopefully it will be good enough and be able to get the message across to youngsters that there's no need for knife crime. That's what we can hope for. And if we get the message to a few people, then we've done a good job. So I'm pretty sure after today with the opening tour, if we can get people interested in what we're trying to achieve, then fingers crossed we will achieve it.
Okay, thanks very much for joining us here on Celtic Radio. MC Envy, well done, and congratulations with the new tour of the single.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
See ya.
Nights you have, remember when no one else even believed. No one gave me the chance, for I was naive. Had no one to patronize me. I rose above, reached another league. Stepped up my game, didn't wanna be just another name. Ain't gonna be just another name. Right about now, things about to change. And we gonna rise to fame. Anything to allow me to pass through. By this I mean I took all routes necessary just to see. I spent my life trying to foresee. This industry's hard, you best believe. Envy is here, I want to see. So check me out in magazines. I set a stage or behind the scenes. Go out, go on, go live your dream. You only get one, watch to do in life. Can't hurt, but you can make it right. Don't be afraid, express your mind. Achieve your goals, don't waste your time. You only get one life.
One life, one life, one life.
Once again, many thanks to MC Envy. In a moment, we're going to hear from a band who are named after the stand at Rotherham United's Millmore Stadium. They're called the Tivoli and aim to bring back the good old British pop song with a track called Drop Me Off in Rotherham.
I'd rather you didn't there, Bill. And then Bill will be speaking with our final guest, Richard Taylor, who is the official envoy to the Prime Minister for Youth Violence and Knife Crime.
The Celtica Radio Rock Show from Deuce.
Okay, this is Jordan Thomas, and I'll be presenting the brand new Deuce Show at this here radio station, which proves they have excellent taste in music. We'll be presenting the best new bands the world has to offer, and no, this isn't an idle claim, as we're bloody picky and we refuse to play anything that doesn't totally rock. So there. So anyway, listen to the Deuce Show, and if you really cared about what we did, you'd be running off to the schedule page, because we're not going to tell you what time it's on. So there.
You're listening to Deuce.
Celtica Radio is a fresh, new kind of channel, completely independent of any station on the air anywhere. We're available on the internet 24 hours a day, broadcasting using the latest technology. Celtica Radio's programming is receivable locally and worldwide by anyone who has a computer with internet access and a sound card. Log on to us at www.celticaradio.com and be part of the experience. What's more, you choose the programs you listen to. Our presenters are experienced professionals, and we play great music and support and nurture local talent too. Check us out whilst you surf the net. If you're an advertiser looking for new ways to get your product across, or represent a corporate organisation interested in state-of-the-art media, then we'd like to hear from you. Harness the power of the internet and Celtica Radio at the heart of the Celt in you.
If you're planning a wonderful new life in the sun, there are a few things you should know before you go. For instance, you may want to know how much money you'll have to live on. So you should solicitar una estimación de los ingresos que le corresponderían por su pensión del Estado. And if you intend to retain your vote in the UK, you'll have to inscribirse en la comisión electoral como votante en el extranjero. Also, with regard to healthcare, asegúrese de que sabe cómo reclamar...
If you're planning to live abroad, remember you're not just planning your holiday, you're planning your life. So visit the Foreign Office website, fco.gov.uk, or call 0845 850 2829 for a copy of our leaflet, Going to Live Abroad.
Mistakes Included is the great new album from Ryan Helmer. Available now at www.ryanhelman.com. Get Mistakes Included. Out now from www.ryanhelman.com.
Around it has seen better days. Broken dreams run from the architecture, peeling the paintwork and staining the pavements. Not like the times when it glowed like the sun, the November lights at Christmas time, the Tivoli roar down at Millmore. So, do me a favour, drop me off in Rotherham. Even though it's a shit hole, I love me mum and dad and it's my home. And even though the two of them made me bald, I've never really known that they're my heroes. My younger brother, I used to fight. Well, nowadays I think what a bad movie, 'cause now he's old. Shit out of me. The weeks away for a crafty cigarette. I went away and I came back. I thought I was something special, but I'm not all that. I only grew tits and I got a bit fat. I gotta realize I'm just a part of the pack, my friend.
Richard Taylor has been the leading campaigner against knife crime in the UK since the death of his son Damilola in November 2000. Together with his late wife, Gloria, he set up the Damilola Taylor Trust to help with anti-youth violence projects, and earlier this month, he was made official envoy to the Prime Minister for youth violence and knife crime. This visit to Wales is his first official engagement in what will be a 12-month schedule aimed at creating a manifesto for change, which he will present to the government, having taken on board the views of families who have suffered the same as his own, community leaders, school teachers, youth workers, and most importantly, young people themselves. Mr. Taylor, it is a privilege to be speaking to you here today at the Senedd. First of all, how have things deteriorated in the 8 years since Damilola was killed?
Well, over the past 8 years, we've seen a series of young people taking laws into their hands by being violently involved in knife crime. It's been very bad. It's really been very bad. And it's really a pity that such a trend has developed into this large-scale, unnecessary killing of each other. You know, the young people have no value for life, and it's been very bad.
Where does the responsibility lay to tackle the issues of a broken society, sir?
To me, that's the word broken society is a very big word, you know, because to me, it's just a pocket of young people that are involved in these activities. Britain is, to me, it's not broken. It's still very firm on a solid ground. But the only thing that needs to be done is to rebuild areas that have been neglected, areas of where there is immense neglect, which is resulting into broken family. Family, it's the word we should have used. Family have broken down. There's parental neglect, which has resulted into this high rate of young people going out to use a knife against each other.
How important do you think is the role of the third sector anti-youth crime charities and voluntary organizations?
They play a very big role, because the government cannot provide all these preventive measures with all the huge work they are endowed with, you know, because government has a lot in his hands at the moment, you know. So the third sector and the charity sector does have a lot of role to play, you know, in this.
What will the official role of envoy consist of?
It's been spelled out by the Prime Minister himself that I will have to go out into the communities and represent the government in negotiating, discussing with families, discussing with organizations that will support government initiatives. We are going to be talking to everybody in the community. We are going to, as you have spelled out in the background, we are going to be talking to faith groups, we are going to be talking to schools, we are going to be visiting various forms of community leaders. We are going to, it's a huge area of responsibility that has been given to us, and I'm not doing it alone. I'm bringing everybody to support, you know, so that we can at the end be able to come up with something really, you know, government will see as a working book, which they will use in developing areas that needs to be corrected.
What do you think local communities can do to try to tackle these issues?
Local community, you mean parents, faith groups, churches, they have a lot of work to contribute to this, because as a parent, a child is brought up with good foundation from home, and most of these young people that we are seeing going out doing or committing all these acts are probably from broken homes, or they are from parents whose cares are not really very effective. You know, most of them have been taken away from their homes. Yes. So it starts from parents. Parental care matters a lot. And so also other areas, government, local government have got a lot to do as well, you know, in these areas that we are talking about. You know, so there's a lot of work to be done by everybody.
Do you think the judiciary should enforce tough sanctions and sentences more often on the perpetrators of youth violence?
Of course, there is need for sanctions and sentences to be given out to offenses committed by young people or for offenses that are really violent. Because if we don't prevent by putting in the right sentence, and we will encourage young people to continue in carrying out their violent acts. So to me, I think there should be sanctions higher than what at the moment is being given out for offenses committed.
Now, big brands and marketing organizations who target young people with their products, do you think they should invest more in corporate social responsibility projects aimed at providing options and opportunities for young people to keep them off the streets?
Yes, definitely. This is an option that we have often discussed with government authorities, the authorities, you know, because private sector groups that are sending out their products to young people, like the football organizations, and then they are really the areas where they should take out most of the profits they make to developing, because the young people are being given products, but most of the profits are being kept by the organizations. So what I feel should be the answer is that these organizations should be ready to develop areas of education, areas of supporting young people as they grow up, rather than taking all the profits in that, giving back. They should be able to give back to the communities where most of these young people are the end users.
Now, the government, they formed a coalition against knife crime, which the Damilola Taylor Trust is spearheading. How does that work?
It's a coalition that everybody has been brought together, you know, private sector, the football association, various organizations have been brought together to work out a program that government as well will use to fight knife crime on the street. So we are giving advice on advisory level to the committee. You know, there are other people that are also bringing in their own ideas of how to go about finding answers to this problem. So we are contributing our own side of it. And we hope by the time we all gather together, probably in another 2 or 3 months' time, we will come up with something that government will now have as a white paper.
There are many violent video games and films that glamorize knife and gun crime, plus, of course, reality TV shows that promote bullying and antisocial behavior. Do you think this lack of responsible censorship has had a negative effect on young people?
Definitely it will have, because all those products are being seen or being watched or being purchased by young people in the market. It does have a very negative reaction to young people's life, developing young people's life, because some of them do believe that if a knife is advertised, they know where to get it and they will go for it, rather than because at home there are knives or at home, but they won't take the one at home, but they will place order for one that they find on the internet. Mm-hmm. So it's negative. It's really negative, most of these advertisements that young people have been exposed to.
Do you think we're making progress? Do you think knife crime amongst young people can be eradicated?
With time and with a lot of education, yeah, we should be able to. We can eradicate it, because at the moment we are targeting the young ones, you know, from the age of 5 to 10, you know, those who are yet to get to the culture. Those are the targets that we have, and by the time we are able to disabuse their mind about the use of knife crime, you know, we'll be able to achieve such level that will definitely take off the problem in our society.
Richard Taylor, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yourself.
That's a song called Forgiveness by a band called Occam's Razor, who are quickly gaining fans across the globe with their unique style of music. It's melody-driven with alternative, acoustic and funk undertones. Since forming, the gents have been busy with gigs, festivals, radio interviews and an awards ceremony thrown in for good measure. They've recently recorded an EP which is receiving radio airplay in the UK and US.
Thanks, Ed. That is pretty much it from us for this programme, and our grateful thanks also go to our guests Gary Payne, D. Edwards MBE, Linda Evans, MC Envy and Richard Taylor. Andrew John in the Pembrokeshire studio for his contribution at the beginning of the programme, the security staff of the Senedd building here in Cardiff Bay for their assistance, and JJ Kane and all at Caravan Music Promotions, especially Marcus Cole, for putting it together in the first place.
We're going to play out with a lovely song from Hilary Weaver called It Can't Be With You. Hilary is an up-and-coming 17-year-old singer and songwriter from Toronto, Canada, with tons of talent. And you can find her online at www.myspace.com/Hilary Weaver. I'll catch you again here on Celtica Radio, but for the moment, from all of us on the station, this is Ed Risby signing off. And wherever you are in the world, I wish you a good night, good morning, or good evening.
We were full speed ahead, now it's come to a stop. You left me on the roadside with just a note on my heart. Why did we go through all this with the warning signs ahead? Then my heart would be so broken, nothing left to be said. What's up with me and you? There's nothing more that I can do. It's a brand new day, gonna find my way, but I can't be with you. I'll try and find a better place to put a smile.